George Bernard Shaw is quoted as saying or writing that the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Humanity's inability to communicate effectively is probably the single largest contributor to the divisions that we face in life. Whether it is in our personal relationships, corporations dealing with their customers, or politicians trying to get votes, or negotiating with other countries, everything hinges on our ability to effectively communicate our ideas and create a shared vision of our future. And where things tend to break down is the misunderstandings of that shared future and how to communicate those ideas. Add in different languages and customs, and communication becomes even more difficult. Years ago, I was traveling in Europe with my friend Curtis. We were in and around France, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And all throughout that trip, we were relying on Curtis's rudimentary French in the hope that people really might know some English. And the reality was we had a mix of the two. But I can remember one night in Luxembourg, we had gone out for dinner. And our waitress greeted us in what I am only going to guess was German. And when we responded with a shrug that we didn't have a clue what she had just said to us, probably hello, but or what can I get you, but we really didn't know, she switched to a different language, and she repeated again, and I'm going to guess that she switched to Dutch, but I don't really know. And when we sort of still shrugged that we really didn't have a clue what she had just told us or said to us, she switched to French, which I recognized a few words, and Curtis got a few more than that, and he did his best, and then she switched to English. And given that it was summer and we were in short sleeves and we both have a maple leaf on our forearms, she probably knew she could have started with that, so I think she was toying with us. But we were fortunate that she actually probably spoke more fluent English than I do. Four languages. It was really, we were impressed. And perhaps you have also traveled in a country where English is not the primary language that is spoken. And perhaps it isn't spoken at all. And you may have noticed that when you are traveling to a country where your own language isn't spoken, that people tend to do really funny things. The first thing that people start to do when English isn't spoken by the person they're talking to is they continue to speak in English, but they do it a lot louder, as if that's going to make a difference. If I raise the volume, suddenly you'll understand, won't you? Really, all it does is make you seem a little obnoxious to everyone around you. And the second thing that you start doing as you're speaking louder is you start to do it a little slower so that the words can sink in. And again, all you do is look obnoxious and ignorant to those around you, because the reality is the person just doesn't understand the language. It doesn't matter how loud or how slowly you speak or how many times you say it. These days, we can probably pull out our phones, download and install some sort of a translation app, and probably do okay. Language and our ability to communicate, it is a funny thing. We have enough problems with communicating in the same language, and so just imagine other languages. And I can always recall my homiletics professor telling us that words themselves are absolutely meaningless, which is odd considering we give every single word a definition. But consider the word apple. You have all now thought of a fruit. Perhaps most of your apples that you thought of are red, but some of you may have thought of a green apple, and some of you might have gone right to pie. I did. But if I say the word again, apple, I'm telling you something about the apple. I'm telling you that I'm excited about an apple or that I like them. But if I say that word again, apple, I'm telling you something else about the apple, that I don't like apples or that I don't want one. And if I say apple and point at your phone, I'm asking you a question, not about a piece of fruit. One word can carry a range of meaning based on its context, how that word is spoken. Add in the written word and it gets even more difficult. And so it's no wonder that communications and our inability to communicate effectively has divided us, which makes that passage in Acts so profound. We ourselves know how difficult it is to communicate and to bring people together, to unify people as we see in Acts. Well, it requires something dramatic to happen, something that affected all of those people gathered there that day. And while language appears to be the central source of division in our passage, it is not the only thing that can divide us. We are told that the Jews were speaking all different languages, which means that they had returned to Jerusalem from a variety of locales. And while they all identified as being Jewish, namely they shared a religion, many other things would have divided them: their language, their customs, the clothing that they were wearing. The truth is, there is probably more that divides us than there is which unites us. Politics divide us. Does your neighbor have the same color sign on the lawn as you do? I don't need to know the answer. But politics divide us. We've already spoken about how language can divide us. Religion divides us. Canada is a pluralistic society. There are many people of many different faith traditions in this country. And while we might argue that there are some commonalities between many religions, there are different religions for a reason, and we are divided on those lines. And wars are still fought because of religion. And even within one religion, there are divisions. Consider our own faith. The Christian church is not one church, but many. Otherwise, all the Christians in Coburg would be here. It would be here that they would be at, right? If there was only one church, instead of the 11 churches in Coburg. We have United Church, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Calvary Baptist, Fellowship Baptist, the Alliance Church, the Pentecostals, the Salvation Army, the Christian Reform, the Lutheran, and then us, the Presbyterians. And there is also the Sisters of St. Joseph, a religious order in Coburg. So that's 12. That's a lot of diversity and division within the church, because we all believe some core things about God the same, but once you start moving out of those core things, our approach to how we worship God and what we believe in those and different theologies starts to get a little bit different. And some of those things divide us. We might agree on some core doctrine, but we still disagree on other issues and other practices. And there are divisions, of course, within our own denomination, and likely within this congregation. And that just might be in what kind of cookies to put out on a Sunday morning. I don't know. But the denomination currently is split on the question of full inclusion of LGBTQI individuals. And many people fear that the debate and its outcome will tear this denomination apart. And there are likely a variety of opinions on that issue within this congregation. And I shouldn't use the word issue, because it's people we're talking about. There is quite likely more that divides us than which unites us. But what is it which unites us? Well, it's nothing more than the love of God, made known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and sustained in our memory by God's Holy Spirit. That day in Jerusalem, everyone was confused. How is it that we can understand one another? And Peter stepped forward, and I often wish I had the courage of Peter to just step forward the way he seems to in these early chapters of Acts. "You are not drunk," he said. "This is God's Spirit at work, as it was promised to us." And then Peter tells everyone about Jesus, about the promises of God. And often within this passage, we focus on how Peter seized the moment, on how the Spirit descended like tongues of fire, and then everyone could speak as the Spirit enabled. What we don't tend to focus on is what the crowd heard. We forget to listen. You, me, we hear a lot of things. We don't always listen. What this passage reminds me to do is to listen to those voices. Communication is made much easier when you do more than just hear, but actually listen to what is being said and attempt to understand the need behind why it was shared. There are many gifts of the Spirit. However, I believe the most profound gift is the ability to hear and listen. And only then can we begin to understand. Only then can we begin to work together and share God's plan of reconciliation with all people. More may divide us than unites us, but we are united in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And I give thanks to God for that. Amen.